Subscribe to our radio shows at iTunes or with your favorite podcatcher. No medical exam or health questions will be asked. Sportsnet 590 The Fan on demand. Hockey bag full of super sweaty knowledge. This is Hockey Central at Noon on the Sportsnet Radio Network.
Game day across the National Hockey League with 12 on the slate. Welcome into Hockey Central at Noon with Darren Millard. Today we are going to chat about the Oilers against the Toronto Maple Leafs. And is it McDavid against Kadri, or is it Matthews against McDavid? Or maybe Marner and McDavid. We'll get into that. Plus, there's some rumors there. Big night for the Florida Panthers as they start the Tom Rowe era against the Chicago Blackhawks. And Jack Eichel could make his season debut. Welcome in Nick Kyprios and Doug McLean. We are going to get to the Toronto Maple Leafs in a big way in just a little bit. But, Doug, we all know that you're very tight with Gerard Gallant. And Nick, you broke the story about the Gerard Gallant decision by the Florida Panthers to relieve him of his coaching duties on Sunday night. So first chance for everybody to get your opinion after you've had 48 hours to take a deep breath.
I take a lot of deep breaths.
Listen, you're going to go first. Yourself. I want you to go first. This is the first time maybe in the history of the show I want you to go first. Should I get a lawn chair?
No.
And maybe something to drink?
It's, you know what? I just, the frustration, obviously, look, I was with Gerard Gallant since he was 10 years of age. Okay. He worked for me for 9 years in Columbus. And a big deal yesterday was that I fired Gerard. Well, we've talked about when I had to fire Gerard, and it was an awful situation for me, and I was forced to do it at the time. But, and I told Gerard that at the time. But anyway, it doesn't matter. I was shocked when he got fired, and I guess I shouldn't have been, because I heard this in the summer that Tom Rowe was eventually be the coach of the Panthers. And I think it goes back a long way. I think it goes back when the ownership group made a decision to let Dale Tallon go. They brought Tom Rowe
in. Promoted Dale Tallon.
They brought in Tom Rowe as associate GM, and that was their doing. And then eventually
Your assumption is that they pushed Dale aside.
They pushed Dale aside. And then, so that was fine. And they have a reasonably good year. Like, they have 103 points. They set a franchise record. And I think going into the playoffs, Doug Cifu, the 5% owner of the team, said, we want to play the Islanders. And it was like, are you kidding me? They just said that? Then they lose that series. And it was a really tough loss for the organization. They didn't expect to lose. So I think Gerard got in, you know, I think the pressure mounted at that particular time, and it continued to mount. And I think it's a situation where the analytics group have taken over the organization. They call the shots. There's one of the analytics guys that has a direct ear to the owner, and he sends who the line should be and all. I mean, it's just a different way. I've grown to have some respect for analytics, as long as it's a tool and not the end all and be all. So Gerard gets fired 20 games in, a game over 500, missing Huberdeau and Bukestad. I thought it was one of the most bizarre firings I've seen in a long time.
It was,
but it was nothing to do with that, in my opinion. This was a plan for a long time. So then, you know, I get into it yesterday and I feel kind of bad about that, but I've got Doug Cifu evaluating my management 9 years in the NHL, saying, you know, give me shots. And I'm thinking, first of all, I don't think he's qualified to evaluate my career. But secondly, from today on, I am anxious to evaluate the Florida Panther management team moving forward. That's my job, and I'm looking forward. I don't wish them bad luck. I really don't. I've had a long affiliation. But I'm going to evaluate the Florida Panthers management from today on. And I hope, look, they've got a good team. They dismantled a 103-point team this summer. And 20 games in, they make a coaching. They dismantled a 47-win team. So now they're good enough. Well, they had 10 new players.
Yeah.
10 new players this year.
Well, because of some injuries, too.
Right. So now they go in, and they still have a good team that was really put together by Dale Tallon. So they have a good team. They still are good enough to win. I had them picked to finish in third in the Atlantic. That's where I had them picked prior to the season. We'll see what happens. I find it, you know, as a hockey guy, frustration, because I think the world of Gerard Gallant. And I just thought it was wrong.
Before Nick jumps in here, Tom Rowe on the conference call yesterday said that there was a philosophical divide between management and the coach.
We've known that for quite a long time, and that's to Doug McLean's point here that it was never going to work, which made even the firing that much more bizarre, because you know eventually that by pushing Dale aside and then by not allowing the typical freedom a head coach would get, especially Gerard and his track record to make decisions, that this was inevitable.
Mm-hmm.
But where they really got themselves in trouble the last 24 hours, basically, is that the decision to let the man go and have a press conference as if everything's fine.
The post game on Sunday.
The post game after the loss to Carolina, and then to fire him so quickly after that when you had an off day. Like, what would have been the difference between that night and on an off day?
That's the way it happens.
Why?
Kip. You get on the plane, you go to the next city, then you meet in your suite the next morning and you have a discussion and talk it out. That's how it works.
That's the way it works.
You don't leave a guy in the
rink. The problem here for them is that I don't think that they know any better. And it is so their right. They are no different from any other team that's been running clubs for the last 100 years. You want to fire a coach, you fire a coach.
Sure.
That's your right.
Totally.
They didn't invent anything new by firing Gerard. They'll go get another guy. Like 29 other teams can make those same decisions. No big deal. But where they get themselves in trouble is they aren't your typical hockey people to now have the experience to know that you don't fire a guy after you just let him have a press conference.
But Tom Rowe's been in the business long enough.
Tom's not. I'm not. I'm talking about the people in charge, Darren. Yeah. Tom Rowe's not in charge. Okay. That's not Tom's call.
And that's the big question.
That's not Tom's call.
Maybe he did say it to Vinny.
No, maybe. He's not in charge.
But this is
not on Tom Rowe.
No, but he could have said, we don't do it that way. We do it tomorrow.
Yeah. Yes. And they don't listen.
Yeah.
If he did, they didn't listen.
Right.
Why?
And you've got a situation there where you just, and Dave Hyde wrote, I thought, a great column this morning in the Sun Sentinel on who is in charge. They're propping Dale back up there to make Dale take, but Dale's back in there now. Who is in charge? And that is without a doubt going to be the fun thing. But I'll tell you who's in charge. The owners are in charge. They're allowed to be in charge, but that's why they're on the clock for me now.
But they don't know any better.
No, they don't.
They don't know any better.
But they think they do.
And this doesn't fall on analytics versus no analytics. I mean, there's some good hockey people that have used analytics for years.
Totally.
Okay?
Totally.
And then, like, this isn't about them versus us or anything like that. This is just a lack of credibility to be in this situation. Okay? I know the Florida Panthers are saying, listen, we asked him, we wanted to get him a car after. We want him to get it.
He didn't
want a car.
And that was true.
Of course it's true.
Yes.
But guess what? You didn't find out after the game that you wanted to fire him. You knew a long time ago.
Yes.
Guess what? You have a car waiting for him, and you make him pass that car to say no, he didn't want the car.
The optics of it was horrible.
Atrocious. Atrocious.
Yeah.
To have your head coach that you just fired outside looking for a cab and having all the media people to take pictures of that is horrible. That image will not leave a lot of people for a very, very long time.
It comes back to doing things.
It's just
about
the lack of credibility that some people have.
And lack of respect for
the league. I'm hearing comments. I'm reading comments. And I think it was the president of Sun, what do they call their group? The Sun Belt or like MLSE. There's the president Caldwell, if I'm not. And he's talking about things about the hockey club, and you're just wondering, first of all, we haven't really heard from you before. Like, why are you piping up now? Like, there's nothing behind your name or your reputation that would have anybody say that there's a certain amount of credibility in your comments. And that's not to say whether you're saying right or wrong things. That's irrelevant. The problem is where are you coming from now? And people are sitting there going, everybody's piping up. They have to use a West Point phrase, there's so many generals, and none of them are on the ice. None of them are the ones that are in battle.
And but you know what the really frustrating thing is to me?
People are rolling their eyes. This is not analytics versus non-analytics. This is about credible people now with a reputation to be making key decisions.
But didn't we sit here last spring and say, wow, the Panthers have got it going. They've got these great young stars. They've got Luongo back in Florida, and he's playing at the top of his game. You've got great leadership. You've got we're sitting here thinking, it looks like they're going to get it going, and it's going to become that franchise you want it to become. And then
the Branson trade, and then the Reimer signing.
And then all this.
Look at that blue line.
Dismantle 103-point
look at
team.
That blue line, first of all. Okay, you got Ekblad now, who's 21 years old. He's the highest paid guy. And who's he surrounded with? He's your best defenseman. He's your go-to guy. I don't care how good he is. You got to protect him better. He is hung out to dry right now on that team. You think it's a coincidence he had 2 points in his first 15 games when there's no Willie Mitchell, there's no Gudbranson, Brian Campbell, who Kulikov gone,
yeah.
Right, who had a presence.
They were tough to play against that team.
And now you bring in Yandel. And, you know, Kulikov for Pesek, I think, was the trade. And
Yandel for Campbell.
And now I'm sitting there going, like, go back to Drew Doughty. You think Drew Doughty in L.A., they did a great job of protecting him when he was 20, 21, 22. And then when he was ready, he took off.
I want to push this forward.
Anyway.
I want to push this forward in the sense of two things. One, Nick, as a player for the Florida Panthers, going into that game tonight, and they're not just Florida Panthers players, but Max Pacioretty, Al Montoya. I mean, there's incredible respect for Gerard Glenn. But now the players in that room themselves have to get on board here.
Well, this is Tom Rowe's challenge here, and Tom Rowe has been around a long time. I worked with Tom Rowe in Hartford. He is a hockey guy. He does have a reputation for being a little tougher on his frontline guys. I don't think he's scared to call them out. It's up to them now, the players, to give him a chance here. And they will. They ultimately will. They'll maybe bitch and whine and complain behind the scenes, but they have no choice. They have to move on. You got to be a pro here, and you just got to play the game.
Roe was scheduled to meet with the leadership group yesterday, but it was a mandatory day off, and the team took that mandatory day off. Do you read into that at all?
Well, yeah, they were, because they were in shock. And they were, you know, talking to some people there. They were in shock. The players couldn't believe it, but they knew something weird's been going on. So I agree with Nick that the players have to buy in. And they're pros. And there's real quality.
But how does Roe do that?
There's quality guys there. But here's the problem. The bigger question is, for me, and I haven't, you know, I've watched some games recently. The question is, with what they've done to the team, with how the changes they've made to the team, and the way the Eastern Conference is so tight, and with Columbus taking a big step and some teams looking pretty good, are they capable? With like, I'll tell you one thing, with Gerard Gallant coaching, this team played hard. And I've heard, how many times have we heard from players that it's the best dressing room in the league? Well, the best dressing room in the league is lots of times it's a result of your leadership and it's your coach.
So how does Roe approach that today?
Well, that's what he's got. He's got to have that leadership group on his side. He's got to have that leadership group because this team competed pretty hard. I know they've said they've been inconsistent, but man, big injuries, 10 new players, that's a lot to bring together in a hurry. So the question is, where do they go from a win-loss? Luongo's good enough to win them games. Barkov's a star.
Tonight.
You know? So the question is, are they good enough? And this is why it's going to be real interesting to evaluate the new management team. Because let's not kid ourselves, boys. These guys are now the guys. They're on the clock.
This team was good enough to make the playoffs with Gerard. They're good enough to make the playoffs without him. Mm-hmm. They are.
Well, we'll see that. We'll see. We'll see. Do you think they are good enough to make it?
The point was made yesterday. This is the
healthy,
first time.
First of all, get them healthy. Get all the guys back in.
Mm-hmm. Nick, well, you said that this isn't about analytics or not being analytics, but this is the first time where you've had it aligned from the top down to the man behind the bench where
all on the
you
same page.
Are on
yeah.
the analytics page.
On the same page. So that's why I continually say I am anxious to evaluate all their trends. You know, that's our job. We do it with every team.
Jeff Merrick made the point off air yesterday in a conversation just about even whether they go four forwards, one defenseman on the power play, yeah. like the analytics I want, or Gerard was playing more of a 3-2. So there's little tweaks that we'll watch for tonight.
Yeah.
If this was inevitable, and we are all in agreement that it was, that they were going to make this decision.
That they wanted their own people in.
Should they have done it in August and taken the heat then for making this change instead of doing it now?
I say
bite the bullet then. No. And then in August when everybody's away, there's none of these shows happening.
No.
You
no,
bite the bullet
can't.
Then. But what's the difference between then
and
now,
Nick? Here's the problem with it, Nick.
You hide it behind a bad record, in your
but
opinion.
It's not.
It is a bad record. In their opinion, it's a bad record.
It's a game over 500 is a bad record.
You had last hang it pace. On a horrible game against Carolina where you blew a lead against a team that isn't a playoff team. You sell it on that.
But here's the problem. You're firing a six and a half million dollar coach.
Nick, you're right. You're selling on it because I got a call 2 weeks ago from an assistant GM in the league that told me they heard Gerard was in trouble and that Tom was taken over. 2 weeks ago. So this isn't Carolina. This is not blowing a two-goal lead in Carolina. This was after winning an unbelievable game in Montreal, winning an unbelievable game in New York, and losing a tough one at home to Philly where everybody was upset. So this has been in the plans since Darren.
I'm not debating that. I'm just telling you that
that's fine.
They'll spin it in a different way.
Yeah, sure. They're spinning it that it was they gave up some goals and they were inconsistent team.
Where do you side? Would you have done it in August or would you have done it now and gone through this?
I think with the way it was so dysfunctional between everybody, I guess you've got to believe it was dysfunctional. If Dale is there and he's the president of hockey ops and he's on a committee, but
philosophical divide.
I guess you've got to bring it to a head. I guess
but would you have done it.
I probably would have brought it to a head.
You would have done it when your now?
Ownership group told you to do it.
That's when you do it. And that's how involved they are.
Matthew Caldwell is the president and CEO of Sunrise Sports and Entertainment. He was on the call yesterday. Yeah. We're going to chat
Who's
with
he?
His,
not necessarily a guy that we hear from a lot.
He's the president?
Yeah.
Okay.
George Richards, Miami Herald. He's the Panthers reporter. He's going to join us in a little bit. He's in Chicago now as the Panthers get set to face the Chicago Blackhawks in game one under Tom Rowe.
George will be great because George has been there for a long, long time. He's been through a lot, George.
Tonight, part of the 12 games features Toronto against Edmonton. Watch on Sportsnet West. NHL regional restrictions apply. This is round two between Connor McDavid and Auston Matthews. But the opening game featuring a Toronto Maple Leaf win featured the emergence of Nazem Kadri as a Selke Trophy winner.
At the expense of Connor McDavid. And it was a lasting image.
And there's a lot of talk after that Nazem Kadri, playing that gritty style, got to Connor McDavid. Not just shutting him down, but got to him and frustrated him and took liberties with him.
And played really well against him.
Absolutely. Hey?
Played really well against him.
So now what do you expect? The first few minutes of this may be interesting to watch to see because you were critical, Nick.
I was.
Of Edmonton's
but
response.
I'm still kind of in that old school mode, which I've lost some faith in it in the last few years.
Do you stare at Milan Lucic when you're giving your pregame speech and you're talking about physical?
That was a big part of why you signed Lucic. Mm-hmm. But what you can do today and what you used to be able to do are two different things. And I would hope that Lucic is smart enough to find that fine line or whatever that is in 2016. But that same image that we had, what, 3 weeks ago, a month ago, in the Air Canada Centre cannot happen again.
Hey, do you wait if you're Milan Lucic for something to happen respond, or do you take the initiative?
I would start. See, this is where
I would take the initiative.
I would start as early as warm up, but you and many others at will start ice. Going staged. It's staged.
But you're not telling us
that staged.
No, is that staged?
That is totally different than George LaRocque fighting.
You're talking chirping.
Ryan Vannebusch off
a face-off. You're talking chirping in the warm-up.
Well, first of all, not everybody is privileged to have any history between two players to read what's staged and what's not staged from 200 feet.
This is an answer.
I'm just saying, though. That's where it starts. Okay. And I'm just telling you, tomorrow, if anything happens,
don't blame me as starting
up a staged fight.
As progressive,
but that's where it should start. And he should talk to everybody.
Hey, as progressive as the Panthers think they are, are we suggesting you're the opposite? You're backwards.
And I'll tell you, I don't know what happens in 2016. Well, actually, I do know. It's rocks, papers, and scissors in warm up. But that's 2016.
So you're implying
15 years ago.
But it's a great.
It would start by Lucic.
Oh, yeah.
Going to talk to Kadri.
Yeah.
And saying, if you even look at him differently, I'm coming after
in
you.
Warm-up.
And then I'm going to go get that little mosquito, number 16, Mitch Marner, and I'm going to wrap his head around the post. So you...
Oh, my God.
You're violent. You're going a little extreme now.
Long and hard about what you want to do tonight, because I will start with you and I will finish with him.
Is that analytics?
That's how it used to be.
How do you quantify that? I'm just telling you, that's the way it used to be.
The mosquito might be hard to catch.
Hey, listen, you got to give it a try.
Yeah.
But you got to give it a try. Offs. Listen, Todd McClellan.
Hold on. Before you go.
Yeah.
Would you take your own approach on Twitter? Is that what the Milan Lucic approach?
Yeah. Well, I'm not.
Your Twitter approach?
I'm not comfortable there yet. And I think I'm not going to do it much more. I'm just not totally comfortable. But I am going to be, I've learned one thing yesterday. I am going to be the master evaluator of a few people moving forward. And I'm going to report on it on a regular basis.
You made the great point.
And I hope it's positive.
You got to catch the mosquito.
Yeah.
I don't know if anyone's going to catch Marner.
He's been so good.
So good.
So good to watch. And
so
fun. And you love, you know what? Somebody asked me yesterday about him. I said, we always talk about Connor McDavid does things at full speed that we're not used to seeing. This guy does things at full speed too. And he is
now like worth the price of admission now to watch this guy compete.
He is.
With that skill. A rare combination.
Yeah.
It's a special combination.
It is a special combination.
See where Dougie Gilmore offered him his number?
Yeah, but we knew that way back.
When'd you do it?
Lou didn't let him.
Yeah. Oh, I didn't know that. Anyway.
Yeah, is that not out there?
It was on the weekend where
you're getting
Dougie
mad
came
at
out.
Breaking stuff. You know, you broke on.
You're breaking it, but you're not telling us.
Last week, you broke about the name of the Las Vegas team. I did not. But you didn't have it right. You said Las Vegas, and it was supposed to be Vegas, so you didn't have the scoop. Well, totally
first
right.
of all, Darren.
I knew.
Darren knew. He told me, and I thought it was out there.
Yes.
And then he looked, and then I brought it a little bit out there on the show, and then you looked at me like, oh, my God, shut your mouth.
Shut up.
And I'm like, what?
Can we get a shot at Producer Matt?
I thought you were out of breaking things. Now, every time I turn around, you're breaking something.
So, Producer Matt standing over there, give us your what you did when Nick was going on about the Golden Knights. Give us the Golden Knight looks to me.
Look was wide-eyed, and it was, you're not allowed to say that.
I showed you the logo,
hey.
and I knew, and thinking that you were going to keep it quiet.
Well, I just thought it was out there.
That was pretty funny.
Yes.
So, important game for the Toronto Maple Leafs and Edmonton Oilers. Edmonton's trying to hang on to this lead in the division, which is phenomenal, but coming off a loss in which they weren't able to get much offense going against Arizona. Mike Smith may join us tomorrow. Arizona goaltender.
Starting to play better.
Yeah. And played then you've got Toronto only has one road win.
Yeah.
So there's a couple of different layers to this game tonight.
Yeah, the road wins are frustrating. I mean, the kids have played so well. Now it'll be interesting to watch tonight.
This is a huge test.
For the kids.
For the kids.
And for the veterans. And for the veterans to help the kid.
They have veterans?
I've got a few of them.
Matt Martin scoring?
Yeah. No, but I mean, when we talk veterans, we're talking Bozak, JVR, Kadri. They're veterans. Hunwick, you know, Riley.
But the
grizzled veterans.
But the difference makers and the game breakers are not experienced. And that, to me, the game can change a million different ways, but what will never change is that your 19 or 20 or 21-year-olds still don't know how to win like some of the older guys. And the challenge now is that you're on the road. You're still soaking in that whole, wow, I'm in the NHL kind of thing.
Yeah, first extended road trip
right?
for this
group, first extended road trip. The young guys are feeling good about themselves. Now it's going on the road and trying to win on the road is real hard hat workman mentality.
And it's interesting. And
they're learning that.
And it's interesting. Edmonton are really still young too.
Yeah.
So Edmonton's still trying to learn to win on the road. We saw them with a little bit of trouble on their, you know, when they're out of Edmonton. But so them and Calgary, they're going to be good matchups for the Leafs here in the next couple of games. You know, two teams that are struggling. I when I think of the young kids, and people have asked me this, when are they going to hit a wall? We saw Matthews hit a wall, but was still playing well, hit a wall getting goals. I think they're going to get better as the year goes on. I think they're going to have little bumps along the way. But I see this group of kids actually getting better from Christmas on. I think they have a chance to take another step.
What's really helping too is that Anderson's really calmed down.
Yeah.
Right? He doesn't remotely look like the same guy that started the first five games. The jitters are gone.
But Nick, look at all three teams.
The less urgency to come out and challenge. He's now got that fine line between being aggressive and sitting back and letting your 6'5" frame stop a puck.
And that helps you on the road. I mean, you don't have to look any different than Talbot, how well he's been, how good he's been. Chad Johnson, what he's done for the Calgary Flames. Goaltending can solve, especially on the road. It's like Luongo tonight in Chicago. Luongo is capable of winning them that game. You know what I'm saying? It's goaltending. Goaltending can make up for lots of things.
What a difference from this time a year ago between the atmosphere around both the Edmonton Oilers and the Toronto Maple Leafs. Edmonton's a first-place team right now. A struggling division, but still a first-place team.
The scary part is, I looked this morning, Edmonton's sitting 3 or 4 points out of the playoffs. No,
but optically, they're the leading scorer in the league.
Look what they're different lineups, Darren, right? They're different lineups. A third of your blue line now is different with Russell and
Larson
in Edmonton. And but to get two top four guys like that who are horses was huge. And then on the Leafs, the upgrade in the skill. With the young players, they are different teams. They're vastly different teams than they were a year ago.
But you know what? When you're watching the Edmonton Oilers now, like I was watching the end of the Phoenix game, Edmonton, you expect them to score. When they pull the goalie and McDavid gets the puck below the goal line, around the net, you're expecting them to get a point and get it to OT. I mean,
The only thing missing, right now, that Edmonton doesn't have it is that pure shooter, a guy that can score 30, 40 feet out. They don't have that. It's not Eberle. It will never be Eberle. Puljujarvi, I'm not 100% sold that he'll be a top scorer in the NHL.
Oh, that's going to be a project.
It's a project. He's got to fit into his frame right now, right?
He's so played better lanky. Than I thought, though.
He's... he's probably best maybe even to go spend some time in the American
Hockey
League.
And that's where
I
thought he would be.
Right now, I don't think that they're convinced that they think that he can progress without it. But I think it's going to get to the point where it would not be a bad thing at all for him to go down there and gain some confidence. You think he'll ever be a 40-goal scorer, Puljujärvi?
Yeah, you know what? His chances could be really, really good if he keeps playing with McDavid. Because he's going to make some careers, this guy.
But they need a shooter. And McDavid, you could say a lot of you do say a lot of amazing things, but he does not have an elite shot.
We're going to take a break.
Yeah.
When we come back.
Yeah.
I want to give a shout out to the Big Rig when we come back. The Big Rig doing his thing last night for the Dallas Stars. We'll expand on that. Plus, George Richards covers the Florida Panthers for the Miami Herald. He'll chat about what's going to happen tonight against the Chicago Blackhawks. Tom Rowe taking over behind the bench. It's Hockey Central Noon, Sportsnet 590 The Fan, Sportsnet, the NHL Network in the United States. And if you miss anything, Nick, where's our podcast?
It's on the radio.
It's on iTunes.
Yeah.
Subscribe to a Tim, and we'll give you a Sid absolutely free. Tim and Sid podcasts available at iTunes or with your favorite podcatcher. Now, more Hockey Central on Sportsnet 590, The Fan.
And Tim, we got Hockey Central at noon. Darren Millard with Nick Kiprios and Doug McLean today. Doug's back on Twitter. He's doing well.
No, you know what? It's bizarre. I looked on this morning. I picked up 2,000 followers this weekend.
Yeah, when you go crazy.
All from Florida.
When you go crazy.
All from Florida.
From all over
the world.
People
want to hear what you have to say. Look at Trump's Twitter.
I learned it from him. It's the only thing I learned from Trump. How to be crazy on Twitter.
Somebody sent me a note. You know, he speaks for all of us, right? It was good, though. There were some interesting exchanges. Last night, the Calgary Flames lost to the New York Islanders 2-1. Thomas Hickey with the winner.
Mm-hmm.
Top five pick, number four by LA, and he's fit in well. Another talk a lot about the great waiver pickup the Montreal Canadiens made from the Calgary Flames last year. Paul Byron and Hickey picked up off waivers. And the Dallas Stars with the Big Rig scoring two goals. Jamie Elesniak. Penny is the big star.
She's at the Conn Smythe dinner, and maybe they'll bring him in too if he keeps scoring at that pace, his second and third.
Big Rig.
That's a great nickname, isn't it? We have to get him on the show.
Dallas need a little bit of a boost like that, you know, from some of those guys.
They're having trouble in overtime. Listen to Jamie Benn after the game, and he was just livid about the points that they're throwing away. And Dallas is a unique team. They're in a playoff spot, tied for that final spot. So if they drop 2 points out, could be changes there. I jest. Tonight, we have a dozen games.
The last thing I need is that change to happen because I might go nuts on that one too with Lindy.
Yes, exactly. Leave Doug's friends alone, please. Here's George Richards, the Panthers reporter for the Miami Herald.
Been through a lot, this guy.
So, George, you weren't on the road trip to start in Carolina, but you have joined the team in Chicago, right, because of everything that's gone down?
Believe it or not, that was planned. No,
oh, it was?
I was always coming to Chicago, so call it good timing.
So you were skipping Raleigh, and you were going to Chicago.
Just a minute, what was planned? The coaching change was planned, or you making the trip?
Well, probably both there, Dougie. But,
okay, thanks.
I had nothing to do with one.
I tell you what, Tuesday on the Strip is in the America Mile there is a lot better than a Sunday night in Raleigh.
Yeah.
Nothing against Raleigh, but that's a quiet town.
It was a back-to-back. People keep asking me if I saw this coming. I didn't see it coming after a loss in Carolina. That's for sure.
So no. When did you see it coming?
I think that they're there, you know, the last week or so. You know, I think that there were some tensions boiling over. I think Turk, you know, I think felt some of it. And, you know, he saw it coming in as well. I just figured it was going to take a losing streak to do it, not just, like I said, not just a pedestrian 3-2 loss in Carolina.
So, George.
Sunday night back-to-back.
But, George, sorry, bud. We heard this at the draft, that this may happen. I heard this 2 weeks ago. Like, have you not heard about this for months? That this could very well happen.
Yeah, yeah. This is, you know, this has been in the works. I mean, this has nothing to do with them losing in Carolina, I don't think. It was just a convenient time to do it. And they just said, all right, let's go ahead and make the move. I think you couldn't replace Turk Gallant, you know, after last season. I mean, the guy, they won 47 games, 103 points, win the division. That would have been a PR nightmare. But they knew it wasn't a good fit for what they were trying to do, and that's no fault of Turk. I mean, he was hired to coach a team, and they changed the game on him in the middle of it.
The only thing surprising that night was that he actually flagged a cab in Raleigh, North Carolina. That's impossible.
That's how good Gerard is that he could find a cab in Raleigh.
Go ahead, George.
No, I hear you. I know it.
Hey, George, what's the perception now that this team, despite the change and despite a few players being ticked off, that this team will still make the playoffs?
That's their hope. I mean, you know, they're only a couple points out. You know, they're not getting Jonathan Huberdeau back anytime soon. So, he is a big piece of this team that's missing. But, you know, they hope that they can get back into this race. I think you look at it, how good the top part of the Atlantic Division is with Montreal and Tampa. And they've got to play Boston a bunch of times. They've got their work cut out for them. They've got 60 games left. There's plenty of time for the Florida Panthers to turn this thing around. But right now they just have been very inconsistent. They've blown a lot of leads. They've just kind of muddled around. They've looked very good at times. If they can play more consistent and play as good as we've seen them at times, I think they'll be okay. But, you know, time will tell. This is a tough road trip. This was a tough time to do something like this. They're in Chicago tonight. They've got Detroit. They go to Ottawa. They play Boston and Philly again. So, you know, they need to pick it up and pick it up soon.
George, you've been on the scene and seen it a lot closer than us. And there was a lot of changes. A 103-point team had a lot of changes made to it this summer with 6.7 to Yandle, Demers at 4.5, $3 million to Reimer, all the different deals and changes they made. Can you give us your evaluation of how the changes have turned out? I said in the fall that they were a tough, hard team to play against last year, and I hope the changes that they made, they will continue to be hard to play against. I don't see it right now.
Yeah, I don't think so. They're playing a completely different deal, and that was one of the things that Gerard was upset about last week when, you know, I asked him, I said, "Did you regret not playing Sean Thornton against Philly?" And he was like, "Listen, it shouldn't just have to be Sean Thornton. They just don't have size. They're built on speed, and maybe that's the way the game is going right now. But right now, the Panthers haven't completely picked up on that. Now, again, we're only in November. I mean, we're almost in December. There's still plenty of time for this team to come together, but they're playing a completely different deal. You know, they were playing their old stuff with new parts, and I think now that they're going to start getting towards what they want from a philosophical standpoint, playing a quicker game, and we'll see how it goes.
Hey, George, just looking at the Panthers in general the last couple of years, so much turmoil, especially with ownership, and it just seemed like it was solidified the last few years. And then they get Gerard behind the bench. They make the playoffs. They have a wonderful regular season. What does this firing do in terms of perhaps with that fan base that they looked like they were making headway? Does this set them right back?
Maybe. I think immediately right now, I think people in South Florida Panther fans are upset because Gerard Gallant was a very popular guy. He's a guy who got results. I mean, you look at, he took a last place team with the number one overall pick his first year and had him in the playoff race with 2 weeks left in the season the following year. Last year, he wins the division. He's a Jack Adams finalist. I think people are upset. But when you say you're looking at turmoil within the organization, I think right now the Florida Panthers are who they are now. Now we know exactly what's going on. Tom Rose, the coach. You've got the two assistant GMs kind of running things. And this is their plan moving forward. So, you know, there's no more, well, this guy's in this camp, this guy's in that camp. I think everybody now, at least in the front office and in the coaching staff, is on the same page.
How are the players taking it? Are they still in shock, or have they settled into this?
No, I think you know, having a day off in Chicago is never bad, but a day off to process it probably helped. I walked through the hallway this morning. Everybody seems to be in good spirits, but a couple guys giving you that look like, what the heck's going on? But guys were really upset Sunday night, and when I got a hold of some guys yesterday, guys were still upset. So I think Tom Rose, you know, he's a good guy, he's a personal guy, but he's got his work cut out for him. He's got to show these guys, hey, there's a plan moving forward. This is what we're going to do. This is what we need to do, and he's got to win these guys over, because everybody on that team, from the youngest rookie to the oldest guy, loved playing for Gerard Gallant.
What's the perception of Tom Rowe by the team, by the players?
You know, I don't know, because truthfully, only a handful have ever played for him. He coached the Panthers AHL team the last couple of years, but a lot of the guys that the Panthers had that would have played for him, they traded away. So there's only a handful of guys, Mike Matheson, Kyle Rowe, who have played for him. I think, you know, a lot of the players have to be going with a wait-and-see attitude. They know Tom Rowe from, you know, being a general manager, seeing him on the plane, seeing him around the arena. I mean, they know him personally a little bit, but they don't know what he is as a coach. So I think that's something that, you know, again, we're going to have to see how it goes and see how he reacts to things behind the bench, you know, and on the ice during practice.
We got to fly here. Some developments around the National Hockey League. But on Twitter, how do we follow you?
At George Richards.
Easy enough. Thanks, George. Appreciate it.
Thanks, George. Good to see you from you, bud.
See y'all.
Longtime Panther reporter George Richards of Miami Herald. So Alex Edler out 4 to 6 weeks with a fractured finger. Mm-hmm.
Tough loss for the
Vancouver Canucks who are 4 points up.
Slowly crawling back into it, which is fun to see.
They're going to lean on some kids now on that blue line. Jack Eichel will make his season debut tonight. For the Buffalo Sabres, as expected, he wasn't going to play for somebody else, against the Ottawa Senators, who have won a lot of games by only scoring 2 goals, but coming back from that high ankle sprain.
And they need him back. One of the few players that has that wow factor in his rookie year. He's right up there in terms of talent, in terms of watching plays and going, how did he do that? That's the type of player he is. It's going to be a shot in the arm for the Buffalo Sabres.
Jonathan Toews will miss again for the Chicago Blackhawks against those Florida Panthers, which we've talked a lot about over the last couple of days. And Milan Lucic did not skate to them today, in the morning skate.
Saving it.
Oh, you think that's what he's doing?
Because he's going to be doing a lot of chasing tonight.
They got him in the back eating raw meat.
That's pretty funny. That's very funny.
I've been really funny lately, I have found. We talked about that a couple weeks ago.
Can we bottle this? Can we bottle this and keep it? Because there's some weeks, Darren?
It's not so funny.
That bottle disappears.
See, what he normally does, and this is your wife, Jill, experiences this firsthand, is she watches you come to work.
Yeah.
And you get all stressed out and you blow your stack.
Yeah.
And then you go home and you're like, fun Doug.
But this weekend. No, it's not good.
You went off while you were away and now you come back and you're fun Doug.
Do you know how many times she told me yesterday in the last 2 days
You say he's the same way in the summer in PEI. He's fun Doug in PEI. Yeah. But he's really bad during the season.
And you know what
he's crusty Doug.
You know
crusty
the sad Doug. Part is I do have a feeling for the Panthers, especially with Gerard there. I want to see them be successful.
Your DNA is still down there.
And yet, I'm just, anyway.
Because Nick and I both separately had conversations with you before the show today. And you're like, don't worry. Then Matt Brown had the conversation. Don't worry. Well
Florida behaved. Panthers, his heart is in the right place.
Yes. We'll see what happens tonight. I'm going to follow Doug McLean tonight on Twitter. I'm going to keep an active eye just to see what happens.
I will not touch it.
Thanks for watching and listening. Hockey Central at noon.
Twitter
Sports at 590 The Fan
and
the NHL
from
Network.
Damian Cox.